RNZ National Friday afternoon means it's time for Critter of the Week, and I'm joined by Nicola Tookey from the Department of Conservation. Hi, Nick.
Ahiahi marie.
How's it going?
It's going good. It's been a huge week. One of the joys, many joys of my job, is going to see all the teams around the region, and one of those teams is in Arakimakuk National Park, which is where I've spent the week, and a little bit up in the Mackenzie and Twizel as well. So,
Your home turf, eh?
Yeah, my old home turf. So it's very nice. It's always awe-inspiring to be standing at the foot of Araki, while the rest of the country may be feeling that kind of, you know, that nice warmth, I can assure you there was still some mountain temperatures. The woolly undies were still required.
Awesome. Sorry, Mum. You got your brain on this big annual competition starting Monday.
Yes, well, of course. It's probably New Zealand's best known electoral kind of competition, which is, of course, the bird of the year, or Te Manu Rongonui o Te Tau. Forests and Birds is a pretty awesome bird of the year competition they run, interestingly enough, every year. And I get all excited because I think about it. It's because I've become so parochial to my region now. Yeah. It's like, right, well, we're talking about Kakariki Karaka, you know, the orange one of Kakariki, or what about Kaki, the black stilt, or what about, and then I heard Ben Paris on the radio this week talking about how, so he works for Auckland Council, but he's Batman, you might have interviewed him before, I'm not
sure.
Yeah,
he's a great guy.
He's a lovely man, and so he came out early as a champion, because of course most of the bird species have their own advocate. And what made me fall about laughing was he is advocating for the long-tailed bat.
Good for him. I mean, because we're not gonna ever have a bat of the year competition in New Zealand, are we? With only two native bats.
Well, that's right. We just end up in, it's just like back first past the post, isn't it? So. So he claims that there is nothing in the rules that precludes being able to champion the bat, and then gave all kinds of reasons why long-tailed bats were amazing and special and cute and all of the things, and which of course then resulted in a flurry of listener feedback about whether or not that was fair. And I thought perhaps he'd taken a leaf out of our book, because Critter of the Week often doesn't refer to critters. In fact, we're quite generous about what our description of a critter is, aren't we? We're quite sort of informal.
What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Haul us up in front of the wildlife police?
Well, that's right. And I thought, you know, we've often spoken of plants, fungi, and which, by the way, you know, the New Zealand's eminent fungi expert Peter Buchanan loves. Every time we talk about a fungi, I immediately get an email from him. And of course, the near to be forgotten dog vomit slime mold. Right up there is one of my personal favourites. So anyway, I hope everyone's excited about Bird of the Year. I know I am, and just because I am a one-eyed Cantabrian these days, I'm quite glad, because we've got long-tailed bats just out of Geraldine, which is also in my patch. So basically, vote for anything in my patch. That'd be great.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'd be happy to put my support behind the long-tailed bat. I actually thought when I first saw the photo of this week's critter that maybe you'd gone for a plant again, but it's definitely a critter, isn't it?
It is a critter, but it is a critter that depends on a plant. So, we're talking about the Muhlenbeckia aphid. And I don't know if we've talked about an aphid before, but aphids in general are quite amazing animals. They've been around for over 200 million years, probably closer to 300 million years. So they are kind of, you know, a survival specialist through the evolution of, you know, the Earth's wildlife. And what's the most important thing to note about aphids is they suck, which is a word I constantly discourage my son from saying.
Because, all right, mate, if you're going to use that word, you can use it about aphids. Come on, come out to the garden. Let's see if we can find one.
That's right. And the reason that I'm being cheeky about that is because that is in fact their life strategy. So they basically exist by pushing their sort of pointy little jaws into the tissue of its host plant, because the way that aphids have evolved over the last sort of 150 million years in particular, they've worked out that it's best to stick to one species of plant, and then other species go for other species, and on it goes, speciation occurs. So they punch a hole in the tissue of the plant and suck the sap, which is full of sugar. Just constantly full of sugar. It sort of reminds me, you know, when you stop at the gassy early in the morning and you see quite often, I don't mean to cast aspersions, but young tradies in high viz often going for like the monster energy drinks.
Always,
Yeah, and a
always.
pie. Yeah. I always worry about their teeth when that happens. But so they're constantly sucking the sap, which is full of sugar, which means that most of what they excrete is sugar. And what's cool about that is for some species of aphids, other species, and in this instance, ants, have worked out that that's actually a really great source of food. And so around the world, some species of ants kind of farm aphids, and they kind of herd them, and then they milk them. I don't know. So, and then some will even take the aphids back into their ant nest for over the winter months and keep them nice and safe and warm until spring. So a lot going on there in the aphid world. And this one in particular, I particularly like it because it's the Muehlenbeckia aphid. So it's very rare. It's an endemic species of aphid, and that's quite unusual in New Zealand. And it lives on that lovely Muehlenbeckia or Tororaro, which is found in the South Island.
I should say, when I went into the plant shop and said I would like something native that I can plant around next to my path, the nice man at King's led me to the Muehlenbeckia, and I've planted four of them in there, and they've gone well. Three of them have gone very well. I'm not sure what's happened to the fourth one, but that is the kind of cool plant. I don't think I've got your particular variety that you're talking about, but it's a, you know, it's a real New Zealand stalwart.
Oh, it is, and it's got that wonderful structure of kind of divaricating little twigs and lovely heart-shaped leaves, and it has evolved over time, we think, to kind of counter moa browsing. So moa obviously strip entire long branches and just rip off all the big leaves, and so this thing has this sort of intricate network of like a basket of little tiny branches, with tiny little heart-shaped leaves. So lovely, lovely thing, and geckos love it as well. So anyway, back to our beautiful sugar pooping aphid. We actually only have about 14 species of endemic aphid. Only six of these have been described, and that's because there's no dedicated aphid taxonomist in New Zealand. So someone needs to put that up on Seek
Yeah,
immediately.
we thought we had a skills shortage in the health system.
Yeah, that's right. Well, this is a bit of dark humour for this current situation.
We thought we had a shortage in the construction industry.
Yeah, much better. Thank you. So 90% of the aphids that you find in New Zealand are not endemic, and I actually had my own experience of that last weekend when my darling husband, a friend, had dropped off a crayfish and a couple of parwa. I know, terrible.
What?
And my husband made some salad to go with it, and we were eating outside. So he just ripped a few leaves of our lovely lettuce in our garden out, and then plonked it on the plate. And mine had more aphids on it than lettuce. And I was like, I'm not eating that. He was hoovering it down. And he was like, well, when the world gets to the point when we're all eating insects for protein, you're not gonna last. So back to the Muehlenbeckia aphid. They're quite They've been found from Fiordland out to Kaitaiti Spit, and even near Mount Somers, near Geraldine, which is incidentally not far from where the bats are. What I love about aphids, and we don't know so much about this particular one, but in all likelihood, this happens. So, you know, the Russian dolls. I had one when I was a kid. I loved it, and I've seen some native bird ones over the last few years that I quite like too. So, you know, the little doll inside the bigger doll inside the bigger doll inside the bigger doll,
For
or
sure.
much like the stick insect that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the aphid also has parthenogenesis, so they don't need to bonk to have babies. And so one aphid has a live aphid, young aphid inside of her, which is already pregnant with another live aphid, and
Oh,
on it.
come on.
So, like something out of science fiction, it is actually called telescopic development, which is quite incredible. And that's how all of a sudden you might have a couple of aphids, and then you get up the next morning and there's like 500. That's because they have that kind of technology.
Wow, where did they all come from? They all came from one aphid.
That's right. Pop, 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 pop. And so we know that they are very rare, this particular species. We don't know what their status is because we don't have an aphid specialist to help us at this point. But it, one of the things that we can do, Jesse, one of the things that we can do to protect the aphids is plant Muehlenbeckia, in this case, complexa, to encourage biodiversity. So there you go. You're already on a winning ticket with your activities and championing
yeah,
them.
Yeah, and that's, you can just Google that. It's a lovely plant, and great, it would be great for filling in a little gap in your garden. Or I see that it kind of hangs as well. So if you, I don't know, if you had a wall that you didn't like the look of, you could organise it to cover the wall. It's a beautiful plant, tiny little leaves.
It is. And I think Auckland Botanic Gardens have done some really cool topiary with Muehlenbeckia, because it kind of lends itself to that. You make all kinds of neat shapes out of it and not harm it.
Well, you can make a Muehlenbeckia aphid for one.
Well, you could.
And then topiary another Muehlenbeckia aphid inside it.
And another, and another, and another. So I think these are really interesting and special. It's one of those species where at first blush we would go, I hate aphids, like a bit like the ones that I didn't want to eat on my dinner plate the other night. But these ones are special because they are only found here, and they are probably getting kind of pushed around and out-competed by the introduced species, which make up 90% of our aphid fauna in New Zealand, by the way. One thing, though, if they are getting pushed around, they do have a couple of techniques to deal with this. Some aphids sound an alarm when they're under attack, and they can also fight back. So they're kickboxers. So they just get stuck in and give them a boot. And they can gum up the mouth of a predator with a waxy fluid they release from their back.
Yeah. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. We've got a picture of the aphid on our page, so people can make their own judgment. But how would you rate its attractiveness on a scale of 1 to 10?
They're a little bit cute. They aren't very big. I'm going to give it 1.5 in honour of their size.
I think the aphid would take it. The picture's on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jessie, and another stellar critter. Thank you very much, Nicola. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jessie, and you too.
The Muehlenbeckia aphid we were talking about on Critter of the Week. Now it's time for the pre-panel.